I think that's a misnomer, maybe for the fan out there, Dan, is that you unplug. Yep. You guys never unplug.
Yeah.
You're still kind of, as much as you maybe not watching film right at that moment, you don't ever unplug, do you?
No, and your thoughts generally go back to the team. And for all of them, all the different ways we can feature them, and for some of the guys who are injured, a guy like Coleman, and where are you at, and how are you coming? And he's so excited. He said, on a bye. He said, I've been on the bye. I need to get back. And so it was great to have him and Trufant back out practicing today. And the best teams I've been a part of got better as the season went on. I love our team and what we stand for, our identity. We love going after the ball defensively. We've got real regard for it offensively, the way we want to attack. And the last part is that finish, the games, the drives, the halves, and that part we're going to get better at.
Let me add, you mentioned Desmond and Tevin there, because those are two guys been banged up for you.
Yep.
And obviously you've got to do some thinking, not just about coming off this bye, but also moving forward in these last six games, as to how the personnel is going to work. You got to spend some time on that as well during this off week, right?
We do, and that's a good topic that Thomas and I, we spend time every day, you know, in terms of the team and, you know, what else do we need to do? What other edge can we find? And honestly, we got a terrific group, and the competitiveness of it, the practice squad, the development of guys. It was great to have, you know, we've extended Ryan Schrader.
Yeah.
And I think he's one that's shown a lot of grit and a lot of toughness in his game and where it's come and where it's going to go to. So it's been a good week so far.
Yeah, congratulations to Ryan Schrader. In case you have not heard, Coach Quinn's referring to the fact that the Falcons have extended him a 5-year extension to remain here and get people blocked and run over people as
That's
a right,
right
tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. Excited about that. Congratulations to Ryan Schrader and his family. Dan, how tough has it been, even though you guys do such a great job of each and every day, what can I do to be better today? And then we'll incrementally be better the next day. How tough has it been to kind of sit on the fact that physically you didn't play the game you wanted to against Philadelphia,
yes,
and you've had to sit there for 2 weeks and wait?
It's been very frustrating because we know we're a better club than that, and they outplayed us in all three phases. And so for that was difficult. Having a bye this week where there's an extended time, oftentimes you do and we do too, quarters of the season. But when there's a bye and there's an extended time off, these are the things we're doing well. These are the things we're going to improve on like crazy over the next, you know, how many ever weeks moving forward. But when you're playing your best at the end, that's the most important, and that's where I like where our team is trending and why, you know, where we're headed, I think, is really big for us.
A little longer to have to deal with it the way the ball game went in Philadelphia than if you'd come off a win?
Yeah, I would say so, because you never like to have a performance where
it
goes poorly for you. And we've been in every game, and that was the first one that, you know, we were in it, but we just didn't have our good stuff that we normally do, and that was hard. To be consistently good all the time, you've got to bring it. And, you know, like I said, we'll give them credit, but at the same time, we're focused on the things we're doing, you know, moving forward here.
We're going to visit with Deion Jones coming up in our player spotlight, one of your outstanding youngsters. And that leads me to the thought, and the fan hears it all the time from those that are sitting on TV or even on the radio, the rookie wall scenario. You're going to have four rookies that play prominent for you on the defensive side of the ball. You've got a number of guys that are young players, but you've got them 14 games in now. And is that a real thing? Help the fan out. Is it real, or is it a mental thing? What is that thing?
I think it's totally a mental thing. And it's way better to talk about some of the things, what your perceived effort, like you're not supposed to have played this long. So, man, you better really, you know, watch it here. So your perceived effort of what how long it could be is different. It's kind of like, well, you better not run that marathon. There's no way you could do it, as opposed to that's someone else telling you their perception of it. And in reality, no, I want to go take it on. I want to go get after it. And that's the approach of our guys. So having the bye, you probably heard a lot of coaches say, well, it came at the right time for us.
Yeah.
And in this instance, it totally did, because we took that break. And really that break is to find, recharge, reset, and say, where do I want to improve to help our team? And that's the attitude we got to go with.
These things, they come in all shapes and sizes, these bye weeks. They also come at different intervals of the season.
They do.
Do you prefer them one way or the other? I mean, here you're kind of at the back end of the calendar on the bye week, as the NFL knows it. I'm guessing you've had them earlier.
I have, yep.
Square in the middle,
yep.
That type thing.
You'd prefer it to be at the end.
Okay.
But once, kind of like the schedule, once it sets up, then you kind of get your shot line just like you want it for the golfers here. But for when it comes early, you talk about this is going to be the best time. Here's why. You know, we'll go out of camp. Or when it comes late, here's why. After the bye, we get to reset. So to me, the most important thing is how you respond from it. and how do you recapture some of the things that are really important to you to get, you know, your team moving forward. And that's why I like our team so much. When I had those conversations individually with all the players throughout it, can't wait to get back, can't wait to get going, can't wait to get started again. So that enthusiasm that they bring right when we need them to hit their stride is important.
It's the Coach's Show with Dan Quinn right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I found myself, I really wasn't going to watch any football yesterday, and all of a sudden I looked up and
it was
I saw
1 o'clock and
I started kind of shaking them. But I flipped it up there just to see as I was walking through, and I saw the Cardinals were on. And so obviously, naturally, I had to sit down because I knew they were next. You're watching tape all the time, the All-22 and what coaches need to look at, not TV stuff. Can you get yourself drawn into watching maybe on a day when you just want to take a relax?
100% you can. And oftentimes, it's happened for years on the bye. You feel like you're late to somewhere.
That's right.
Am I really supposed to be watching this game right now? But I do gain a lot from the TV copies. In fact, we cut up the TV copies. Sometimes it shows a different angle, a different thing. So our players watch the TV copy in high def quite a bit. We just cut it up like it's a regular 22 play. You might get a stance and a lineman somewhere while he's holding the ball. So those are an edge that you can find. So we do that quite a bit. And then just hearing, you know, at the line of scrimmage, how they're talking, you know, those are, you know, there's always something to find.
That's pretty cool now for a fan now. You think about that. Hey, we're not watching what the coaches are watching. Right there, you just heard Coach Quinn talk about how they're listening for sound, some of the things that are said at the line of scrimmage. Maybe there's a key phrase or a stance you can't necessarily see from the end zone
copy
that you see up tight.
And the more, the bigger the games, there's all these different angles.
Yeah.
And so not every game, the fan may not know that every game doesn't have the same amount of cameras. Some of the Sunday night games and Monday games have more cameras, so there's more views. And so we just, if there's an edge to find, we're going to dig to get it.
Let me ask you this. Is the audio portion of the television copy really underrated to the fan? Because the audio, I had a college assistant share with me this fall that they watch TV copies for cadence.
Yes.
For their offensive and defensive linemen.
It's more important for, when you're, using the silent cadence or you're at the road, because for a team playing here, it's not as valuable because our crowd hopefully is going to be just trying to tear the roof off the dome.
Sure.
How loud it could be for them. So when you're on their spot, when it's not as loud, that can be more to the advantage. So at home, we're totally relying on the connection between our fans and our team to light it up and make sure it gets loud as could be. So, but it is, there's an advantage there for you.
To that end, Dan, obviously you know that, and you know people are watching you and paying attention to you. How much does that play into scouting yourself and maybe from a rhythmical snap count standpoint where maybe Matt's too rhythmical with it, where you can time it up, those type of things?
That can help. And for the big guys inside, once they put their hand down, it's time to go. You know, there's another 315-pound man about 3 feet away from you trying to knock your face off. So you're not always listening to, like, what was that one again?
Your feet
quarterback.
Right.
So at the line of scrimmage, you get your tips, and then you get your cleats in the grass and go. And it's also a case of we know that they know. So there's definitely, for the quarterback in the room, some dummy checks. And
just that really applies to me, dummy check. Absolutely.
So, just some calls, so it's not always that way. So all the things for the fans, I wish they could get into all the cat and mouse that goes on, this look, this safety down, this rotation, this back, this check. And then once all that takes place, then the ball turns over, and then all hell breaks loose for about 6 or 7 seconds, and then you go back and you do it again.
Yeah, and then there's the variable of a guy who has some elite ability, and you got to, even though you kind of have an idea where he's going, like a Julio Jones, I have a pretty good idea where he's going. Now I've got to stop him.
Yes.
Now you got to prevent him from doing that. It's amazing.
It's a blast to be a part of, knowing that. And there's always something to try and find. And analytics has been a helpful help, and also too much.
Yeah.
You know, where
Dave's a big fan.
Yeah, I could tell. the sigh gave it away for sure.
Well, I'm always a big fan of a guy that's sitting on a couch in London breaking down how good our left tackle is.
So there's nothing like the game and the feel and the matchups that you have.
Yeah.
That's what makes this game so awesome is finding those matchups, creating a formation or a play to attack a certain defense. That's where, like, the strategy of football comes to life each and every week. This look, that look, this play, that play, battling for it, in space, all those are you know, what makes the game so much fun.
A couple minutes before we get to our first break, and then we'll get another segment. We'll touch on Arizona, who's here Sunday at 1 o'clock, obviously, and Bruce Arians and the Cardinals. And 11 o'clock, our pregame on the floor of the Dome with Mike Conte and V103's Ryan Cameron. Through 10 games, biggest surprise for you in looking back at these first 10, what are you most pleased about this football team?
I'm most pleased that we really have a regard for the ball, and we know we're at our best the way we want to ball hawk defensively, the way we want to take care of it. It's not to say we don't have turnovers, because that's part of this game and they happen, but you see a real regard from the receivers, the tight ends, the running backs in terms of their, you know, protecting it for their brothers. Defensively, the ball hawking mindset, you know, we force some fumbles. We haven't got them all, but the ability to go dig for it. The second thing I would say that, you know, recognizing how connected this team is and knowing that they're all an extension of one another. It's the way the offensive line blocks to get the running back free. It's the way the receiver tries to go crack the safety to get the runner free. The play action, the keepers, how the run fake by the offensive line has to be on point for that to work. Defensively, same thing. The principles that are in place for us to play at our very best, knowing they're all connected together. You know, if we're going to play zone defense, pass rush has to be on point. If we're going to have good pass rush, the zone players have to have good eyes for the quarterback when he gets off the spot to go drill the guy. So those things, that connectedness that the team has, I'm pleased with that. Where do we have work to do? Third downs for sure, both offensively, on the longer yards, but we don't like being in those long ones. We're pretty darn good in the 2, 4, 5, 6. When it gets longer, we got to improve on that, and we will. And then defensively, you know, the different looks that we can get and create to make it tougher on the quarterbacks.
Good stuff. We'll take a break here with Coach Quinn. Come back a little longer segment, more analytics maybe for Arch.
Yeah, why not?
Dan Quinn,
see if we can find some Pro Football Focus people to punch in the face.
We'll pass that along, Arch, during the break. Stay tuned. More of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday from Flowery Branch after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, back with Coach Dan Quinn, Dave Archer, West Durham here on a Monday at Flowery Branch, and our SunTrust play of the game from one of your four rookies Arch spoke of in the first segment, Brian Poole, in a big play a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. Deion Jones will be with us, by the way, in our player spotlight coming up here in a few moments at the bottom of the hour. These young guys, Dave talked about the mental side of it. Physically, they have been, I think, everything you thought they would be.
Yep.
From a speed, physicality standpoint, run and hit stuff. I mean, defensively, the youth on this team has really started to kind of take shape. And you mentioned that a moment ago, I think.
And Brian Poole definitely has been one, you know, the technique and the discipline it takes to play at nickel, match up against different size, different speed, different abilities. You got to be ready for the challenge. And I knew Poole was going to be amongst us when in training camp, and I saw him counting in line, not who not to go against, but he wanted to go against Julio. And so this was, you know, a rookie trying to match up in line. I saw him.
Wow.
There's third guy. I'm going to go third. And that told me right then and there, the competitor that he is, as opposed to backing off, he wanted to go challenge it. Not to say that, you know, he went up there and stoned him.
Sure.
However, it spoke a lot of the confidence that he had in himself to say, I want to try it against the best. And that's the type of competitors that we're looking for.
When you're rebuilding this unit, excuse me, Dave, when you rebuild this defense, and that's essentially what's transpired here, how important is, okay, yeah, I know this guy's got size, I know this guy's got this, but I got to have the guy who's wired the right way. And how much of that is a carryover from what you learned in Seattle and other places?
With Thomas and myself and the scouting department here, we're looking for dog competitors. And the first part of their evaluation is we give them a C for competitiveness and a T for toughness. And so that letter, if that's above a certain, you know, grading scale, then that would be somebody we'd want to consider. And if one of those fall below that number, well, that would be certainly something we'd want to have a very serious discussion about. Is that the type of man and ball player that we want representing our team? And we're just going to keep continuing to find the most competitive and tough guys who want to keep battling for one another. And although the stats don't show it, you can turn them a lot how you'd like to. The speed and the effort and the toughness do. So that's why we're so excited about where we're headed.
Dan, you ooze the competitiveness, and I think your team feeds off of that. I think that any team kind of gets a personality from their head coach, and that's just something that comes out of you, the competitiveness. How much have you, as a coach, had to temper your expectation. Maybe you don't temper your expectation, but with these young kids, they've had to learn on the job. They've been in the classroom every time they step on the field, even in practice, but in the games as well. To temper your expectation yet expect the highest level. How hard is that as a coach when you got young players like that?
With all young players, it doesn't have to be on defense, on offense too. I recognize there's going to be things that happen along training camp, OTAs, that have not happened before in the scheme that you are in. What I expect is that those mistakes don't get repeated. Mm-hmm. And both offensively and defensively, we want to make sure we're featuring the guys of the things that they can do, not the things that they can't do. And by that, saying the things they can do, do it over and over and over so you can stop thinking less about your assignment, because I know I'm going to get that part right. And then now I can start taking my intensity and bringing it to you, whether I'm going to tackle you, whether I got to go play the route, whether I'm a pass rusher, the way I go finish a block. That type of intensity is what we're looking for. But it takes reps and reps and reps to give you that confidence. I know this so well that I'm going to go dictate how we're going to play. So it's that choice that you have to make as a competitor to say, I'm going to put the extra in so I can speed up this process that coach is asking me so hard to go through. It takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of grit and toughness. At the end, it's a total choice that you make as a competitor saying, if he needs me to do extra, I'm going to do extra. If it's staying late, finding time, asking the veteran to get my game right, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's why some of the first and second year players are having an impact here because of their intent of what they bring.
Well, and see, that to me, that is the huge part about it. Being a former player, when you start talking about culture change and changing right. how we think about what we do, I try. The coach is putting me in the position for me to be the best I can possibly be. And I see that, and I trust that. Now, all of a sudden, the anxieties that are right. holding you back, you turn them loose. You say, I know he's going to put me in the best spot. All I have to do is grind to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do when I get my opportunity. And that frees you up to play.
I want the players to know they're at a place where they have the freedom and power to be the competitor they thought they could be. Mm. And sometimes that perceived notion of what you think you can be is just a ceiling. And now you got to break through it. And now there's a whole nother competitor inside of you that says, how bad do you want it? I want it really bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you how bad. And sometimes it takes a guy to become 22, 23, 24, 25 to say, this is the man and the competitor I think I can be that they didn't even know they had in college. And that's why some of the small college guys make it. And they figured out that I can do this here. And why does the undrafted player ascend to become who they think they can be? Because they now believe it.
Where did that develop for you? I mean, that just didn't – I mean, you knew maybe you wanted it that way when you became a head coach, or did you go through it in a process on your own, or how did that come about?
It certainly didn't happen overnight for me. You know, as a kid growing up, I knew I wanted to play and to coach, but I think through experiences and seeing – I've learned a lot from players, to be honest, through the years.
Okay.
And, you know, just – I'll name a few through my NFL career, a guy like Bryant Young in San Francisco – and Jason Taylor in Miami, the relentless competitor to find an edge, to work so hard at your craft that they took it past what was the norm. And knowing like they took their game to a new place. And so when I see people work so hard to take their game to another place, it just adds fuel to my fire to know that that's my role now to help stoke that with these young guys to say there's more you can get out of your own game. And to help provide them with the tools to say, there's another spot you can go to that you didn't even know you had. Mm-hmm. And seeing other guys have that. We have some guys on our own team like that right now. And when a teammate sees that, I want to go do that. And so that's me to try and encourage that and stoke that fire to say, you live at a place where your most competitive self can come to life. So if you have it in you, you're at the right spot.
It's Dan Quinn's Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Q, here come Arizona, the next opponent on the table. And I guess as soon as you think Arizona, you think solid, in-your-face defense. And now the emergence of a running back that is a physical presence in the run game but also is a heck of a receiver coming out of the backfield.
Some of the things I look for right off the bat when I begin the scouting is the explosive plays offensively and defensively, and where is that ratio? Well, they're way up in terms of, you know, offensive explosive plays, and you think of Larry, but it's also Johnson. And then defensively, they play a really aggressive style.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you play a really aggressive style, you can have big plays one way or another. Well, they play an aggressive style and don't give up big plays. And that, to me, is a really good sign of a very good tackling team. Sometimes plays so aggressive that the big plays happen on the other side. Either they're going to sack them or it's going to be a touchdown. I'm not making that as a big generalization, but they play aggressive and they play really sound, tough defense.
Is Bruce Arians' success there by virtue of some of his variety of stops too? I kind of equate different tracks with different guys here. I mean, I read a stat today. I shared this with Dave before we got going. Only three other teams have had a better winning percentage since he's been the head coach at Arizona, other than the Cardinals. What is his team's trademark when you start to look at him?
I would say he has a very good idea of how to feature the players. And offensively, defensively, they have real belief in what they do in their system. But knowing, okay, I've got this running back, I can move him out of the backfield. I have this linebacker, I can stand him up, he can be inside. We have this safety that we're going to move down to play linebacker, like Buchanan, who's now a featured linebacker,
yeah,
but came in as a college safety. So knowing how to feature and utilize the guys, I think that's one of his real strengths.
It's also interesting, too, because in looking at the relationship he has with Steve Keim, his general manager, it got me thinking in the bye week a little bit about what you and Thomas have built here. Not to say it's the same order of history, that type thing, but that kind of relationship. They seem to be on the same page and walk in concert a lot.
And they certainly do, and we are here. And part of that reason, you spend a lot of time, and both, you know, front office, call it, and or personnel and coaching, when you share the same vision of how you want to play and how you want to win and how you want to operate, that goes a long way. It's hard, this business. And so it's hard when you're really communicating well and doing well. So when you're not, that's when it makes it especially difficult. So yeah, we have a lot of respect for Arizona, for the way they run their outfit, and we're expecting a tough test, and they should feel the same about us.
Dan, veteran quarterback in Carson Palmer. There's some pluses and minuses. That veteran quarterback not going to move much.
Right.
In fact, his athleticism's diminished significantly. He's been in the league a long time. Means you know where he's going to be, and maybe you can get after him with pressure and get after him with your front four. Also means he's going to stand in there and cut it loose. He's not going to shy away from getting hit to throw the football. What does a veteran quarterback kind of mean to you there?
Well, he can totally rip it, and he's one of the strongest arms that we have in this league. Sometimes you look – there was maybe a game 4 or 5 weeks ago, and we were looking at some of the plays at the end of the game. Some quarterbacks around midfield, they may take their Hail Mary shot. I think he threw it about 70-some yards. So you know the ability that he can go deep. Well, he also has, you know, the ability to – the running back, the tight end, the receivers, everybody gets involved. So he knows where to go like the veteran guy does based on the coverage that you're playing. So it's going to be important for us to try and knock him off the spot.
You know, so many people are talking about, well, Philly was a desperate team, and here comes Arizona, it's a desperate team. You guys are a desperate team as well. You got to play with that kind of a mentality, don't you?
And that's right. And we're certainly not relying on any other team to get us up. We'll be ready to rock. And, you know, we're not relying on, it's a really big game against Arizona. Like, they're all big. And we recognize that, too.
Deion Jones is coming up in our player spotlight. We're going to go ahead and assume he probably doesn't want to talk about Florida LSU, don't you think?
He didn't want to talk about it much today, I can tell you that.
Well, especially when you got Keanu Neal and Brian Poole floating around in there. There's not any talk about
the guy who coached in Gainesville.
And Mark, DB coach.
Yeah,
that's right, Mark.
So,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. We'll leave it alone. How's that?
Yeah, I don't think you will,
okay.
And you shouldn't expect anything else.
All right. Thanks to Coach Dan Quinn. Stay tuned. Deion Jones coming up next in the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.